Welcome back, podcast listeners. Make sure that you subscribe to this on iTunes so that we can see that you're actually listening to this broadcast. On today's show, Brian Muir is here to set more than lines. He's here to set the record straight about his rental agreement with his landlord and also talk to us a little bit about the history of Turkey Day wrestling, especially at the University of Virginia. Enjoy.
You know what? We got Thanksgiving coming up on Thursday, so hopefully everything will be resolved by then and we'll get to enjoy a nice Thursday together.
Yeah, we do. It's just a nice little Thursday. Just too good. I felt like a bad former roommate when this all came down on you. I felt like I needed to do more. I felt like I wasn't doing enough to preserve my right as a friend.
Nah, I wouldn't do that to yourself. No, I don't think so. I think it's just we got stuck with a dud of a landlord that trying to take a little more than he's entitled to. So.
I feel like there's not a ton of people who walk away from any lease or, you know, go through life and they're like, did I ever tell you about the landlord I had from 2010 to 2012? Guy was the best. He was the best. And especially the
actually, every once in a while you come across somebody that's like, yeah, my landlord basically just let me live there for 2 months free at the end of the lease. But yeah, for the most part, you're not. You know, it's not about making friends. They're trying to get money. You're trying to pay them less money. They're trying to get more money. So that's kind of the nature of the relationship from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Especially when they move you in above Section 8, unknowingly.
Unknowingly, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
It's a soured relationship from the
immediately.
Get-go, so.
Immediately soured the relationship.
So I think we kind of knew what we were getting into, but yeah, it's hit a new level the last week or so, and. Hopefully I'll come out unscathed on the end.
Brian, you have an office if you ever need it, bud. Just pull up an air mattress and it's all yours. I'm going to be cool with it. I'm saying you, $900 a month. $900.
That's a deal.
And, of course, I'll need this in writing. I don't trust.
I'm going to have coffee made, breakfast and coffee made every morning, and I'm in.
That's what I do, man. I'm cooking. It's the West Loop hospitality. It's how we do it on the west side of the city.
You make an all right scramble. It's not the best I've had, but it'll probably do.
My egg scramble this morning was monumental. But I tell you what, I went to Whole Foods and I got the bacon from Whole Foods because they always make good bacon. You know, you get good meat, a little bit of some marble texture in there. You get some fat, but you're not like overcome with fattiness. And then this for some reason, this bacon was all fat. You couldn't find meat. Like if I had put it on the grill, it just would have evaporated into bacon juice, fat.
Back to Whole Foods.
So yeah, I'm going to take this bin of fat back to Whole Foods and I'm going to ask for my money back.
See how much it's worth to them. You could just make soap out of it. A la Brad Pitt.
A la. You know, it's frustrating because, you know, you trust a company, a large multinational organization, to provide you pig meat and some fat, and they won't do it right, you know? So I'm transitioning everything over to Mariano's.
Is that right? You think Mariano's is that much better?
I think Mariano's provides a similar shopping experience, free of some of the lesser desirables that show up at Dominick's and smoke in the grocery store, which I think is like basically like smoking in the doctor's office. I think it's the same thing. Like Maybe even worse. Just like that's my food. What are you doing? I mean, a pregnant woman smoking in Dominick's. I don't even know how you beat that.
Hip Hop Dominick's is, I don't know if there's another shopping center like that. Definitely not in our immediate area.
No. I mean, the two arrests I've seen there, I saw the end of...
Every other time I go there, I see a fight outside. Yeah. So we're, for those of us who don't know, I live right on the edge of, might as well be Baghdad and Chicago.
It's Baghdad and Afghanistan. It's where they come together.
Pretty much Baghdad and one of the nicest parts of Chicago, right on the edge of maybe one of the worst parts of Chicago. So... And the Dominick's is on right over the border on the worst side. And, yeah, it's a treat. If you haven't been there, check it out. But
The biggest concern I would have is this time of year when people are trying to figure out their turkey situation.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine what the customer service line is like.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, I was told to I need to still get a turkey for Thursday, and I was told to go to the Dominic's and get it. And I just there's no way I'm getting my turkey there.
You can go and get a fresh kill turkey.
From over by you, right?
No, you can get you can get it at Publican Quality Meats.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing that, or I'm thinking about just going to Whole Foods maybe and getting it there.
Well, Whole Foods has them too, the fresh kills. Like, they have like a layer of like frozenness to it, but it's not a completely frozen turkey. So you just have to leave it out for like 3 hours as opposed to like.
Still trying to figure out how to deep fry it.
You just get a big bin, and then you get like an external burner. It has to be.
I'm wondering if it's worth it at this point, though, to go through the trouble.
Do you think it's worth burning down the apartment that you're currently in? That's the question.
If that was part of the deal, yeah. If you say it that way, it makes a lot of sense.
I was watching the State Farm how to safely deep fry your turkey commercials. I know how to do it now. I think the biggest key that people miss is make sure that the turkey isn't frozen, which seems pretty self-evident. And the second thing is turn off the burner once you get the grease up, you know, once everything's hot enough to actually fry it, put the turkey in, but turn off the burner for just a moment until you see how much grease is going to escape your lid. You know, because if you overfill the grease, it's going to cause this enormous grease fire. And I think people's mistake is they leave the burner on, it spills over, and all of a sudden you're calling TK Oates to put out your fire.
Right. And he's going to do a good job for you, definitely, but that's not a situation you want to be dealing with, especially on Thanksgiving.
No. And I guess a lot of people do it in their garage.
Like the only time I've ever seen it done, I was in Florida, and it was done outside in the backyard with nothing but sand surrounding. So
good.
That's probably the only safe environment to do it.
Sounds like you know some safe people.
But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't expect deep-fried turkey. I'm probably just going to go the traditional route.
Well, it doesn't have to be that big. The other thing you can do is you can go crazy and you can get a duck. I think I'm going to cook a duck.
That's a good idea, actually.
Because regardless, I think a duck would just be fun to have in addition to a turkey. Because you can get a small turkey. There's only going to be three of us?
There's no reason to overdo it.
Is it only the three of us?
It's three of us, yeah.
Yeah. So I think.
Three Wahoos. Three Cavaliers.
Wahoo.
Well.
UVA versus Iowa, huh? Whoa.
UVA, Iowa. Let's get into it. So, what'd you think? I thought Virginia looked good.
I'm loving it.
I thought two things. I thought Virginia looked pretty good in some areas. Other areas, I thought they could have had it and didn't quite get there. And I wasn't all that impressed with Iowa, to be honest with you, this early. They've got some holes in the lineup.
They do have some holes in the lineup, and I think you asked about Virginia, and it's like, you know, you could be more critical of the people you love the most. I think the number one thing that they did overall, the feeling of the meet was that Iowa had to wrestle to win. They couldn't just, you know, come out and just put a whoopin' on Virginia. I mean, they were in it. Like, they knew they were in a wrestling match. And you saw that, but in a lot of places, but it's still some of those guys, it's like you just have to lock your hands on that double and finish it against Derek St. John, Jed Moore, you know, and then and then Solzer, Nick Solzer.
Solzer looked great. He was in on, what, three reshots within the first 2 minutes. He converted one.
Just don't take that shot at the end of the second, and now you are going tied into the third period.
Yeah, that was the match. I thought that was the match right there. When he gave up that takedown at the end, it was like, oh, man, kind of gave it away. But he's a tough kid. I think he might be around in the end. I mean, Evans is fourth-ranked guy in the country. So
right.
He's a stud. Both those guys are studs. The guy that impressed me from Virginia also was 84-pounder.
Doty,
yeah. He's a man-child.
His conditioning was the best on the team.
Yeah, like he was going. I thought the conditioning overall seemed pretty good. Like they weren't getting burned out by the Iowa guys like you usually see. Not usually see from Virginia, but usually see any team versus Iowa. So that I was impressed with, and Doty, yeah, he was toe to toe with Lofthouse.
Essentially, that's one of his first.
I thought he could have snuck it out there.
And he's in one of it. Oh yeah, if I didn't tell you who was ranked and who wasn't, it would be hard for you to pick out the better wrestler. I think Doty. Yeah. I thought Doty attacked on the edge. I thought he had great conditioning and looked tough. And it's good. I think, you know, I think they have so many, again, we talked about this before, they have so many pieces moving across the board. Right now they have six guys who are ranked, and then Doty as well, you know, and then you still have Papagiannopoulos, because I'm an expert at namiology. He is coming through at heavyweight, hopefully, you know, he'll be back. So you have a lot of moving pieces, and I think my bold prediction, is that one of those guys makes the NCAA finals this year.
Wow. Wait, so run this back now. So your prediction is that just run it back for me. Sorry.
My prediction.
I had a brain fart there.
My prediction is that one of the UVA wrestlers will make the NCAA finals this season.
Any one of them up or down the lineup?
Anybody. One of ten.
Yeah, okay. All right, I can see that. You're not going to go with who it is. You're just going to say one of them.
No, I'm not going to say who it is. But, I mean, obviously in the fifth spot, and he put McDonough on his back, Snyder can do something. I mean, it's not impossible. As long as I'm more scared of Alan Waters almost. I think Waters will be the number two seed by the end of the year.
That's pretty funny, because I was looking at that today, the rankings again, and I was like, man, Waters is a really tough matchup for anyone.
Really tough, especially in the quarterfinals. You know, so if you...
He's a guy that you do not want to run into.
No,
you know?
God.
Like, you're hoping he's on the other side of the bracket.
Sammy
sure,
Henson,
no matter who you are.
Yeah, he's giving Sammy Henson piggyback rides up and down a stadium right now.
How about the kid from Minnesota, Thorne? I think he's going to be right up there.
Oh, he's a stud muffin, isn't he?
He throws it out there, too. He's not scared to let it hang out. He's going to be around. I think the one guy that's really got a good shot this year from UVA is Fauzi.
Yeah, he looked good.
He looked good. He looked good early. He faded a little bit towards the end, but he pulled it together when he had to in overtime.
Yeah, his conditioning could have used a little bit of could use some improvement. But, again, it's early in the season. And
yeah,
he came out firing.
He got a takedown right away.
We say that. We say that he needs conditioning.
He almost had another takedown in the first. Actually,
yeah.
He might have had two takedowns in the first.
But we also said he needed conditioning, and he did pin the number eight wrestler in overtime. So even though it was a scramble stack,
yep,
he did pin him. So he kept his head about himself.
I mean, if he didn't pin him, he was getting reversed. So
right.
He was going to win the match either way. But, yeah, I thought they looked good. I thought they showed some promise. You know, I was going to be there in the end. They're going to improve. But I thought from what you saw from Virginia early, pretty good
that's a team.
A BA alum right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, exciting. Exciting year for Garland.
And that's a team that's going to be peaking at conference and peaking at NCAAs.
Yep.
That's just the way they
I
do
agree.
It. That's the way the Wahoos do it. Blow through the conference. Virginia Tech's going to be all fancy pants until the moment when you
get along with Rutgers and Maryland. I mean, I'm hearing rumors that UVA might be looking at the Big Ten as well.
That's not true.
I don't want to break any sort of false news here, but
I think you just literally did. I think that's what you just you just broke an onion.
Go ahead and scroll it off the top of Intermat for me. That Virginia, you heard it here first, is going to Big Ten.
I don't think that's a good idea.
It's in the rumor. No, I'm kidding. But it's in the rumor. We're in rumor stages right now, but it's not out of the possibility. That's all I'm saying.
I think it better be out of the possibility.
Really? Yeah, I think it'd be kind of exciting. It seems like the ACC might, I don't know what's going to happen with the ACC. They're still going to be there, but Maryland's a big loss.
16, I mean, we would have 16 teams in the Big Ten. The only thing that would be nice about, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
The only thing that could be really good about that situation is that I'm pretty sure the Big Ten requires full membership, and I think that attached to Virginia would be Boston College. And Boston College would have to bad wrestling, possibly.
Be awesome. I was very close to going to Boston College, and they had a wrestling program up until 99, which was my second year, but yeah, they did away with it. I looked at Boston College and Boston University, but yeah, if Boston College added a team, that'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
So that's a double win, I think, for the wrestling community. How do you feel about Rutgers, Maryland and their chances in the Big Ten?
Well, first of all, I like that Maryland is going to get this huge lift to their... And they just trimmed off 8 sports not too long ago. Wrestling was saved miraculously. And now with the influx of new money, you know, they're going to be fine in the Big Ten. You know, they're going to exist for as long as they want. I just think Rutgers... I mean, it doesn't impact them either way. I think Rutgers would have a more successful program if they ended up slotting into the ACC than they do slotting into the Big Ten.
Think so?
I think at some point you don't want to be the bottom feeder in the conference. You know, you want to be, like, one of the things that's helped Virginia Tech is the fact that they've been able to say, come here, you can win conference championships, you can compete at the national level. Sure. You know, Virginia says that as well. There's a small, tough conference, but if you're joining the toughest conference with 13 other top-tier schools, I don't know. I mean, what happens to, like, Indiana? Think about what happens to Indiana. Like, what do they do? What do they do in a conference of 14 teams?
Rutgers, I think both of those teams off the bat are going to be – I don't think they're going to be bottom feeders necessarily. I think they're probably mid-level.
You're going to have a lot of 34-6 dual meets.
Probably. But that might also entice, you know, Rutgers is getting all those New Jersey guys now. It might entice some more, like the stud from, let's say, I don't know, is there any wrestling north of New York? The stud from New York that doesn't want to go to Cornell, can't get into Cornell for whatever reason, doesn't want to go to Hofstra, wants to be in the Big Ten, maybe now Rutgers is an option for him.
Yeah, but that's... You basically just described Robert Hamlin, and he went to Lehigh.
Yeah, he went to Lehigh, but maybe he goes to Rutgers. Maybe now he goes to Rutgers. So, I think Rutgers right now could probably beat... They're going to beat Michigan State. They're going to beat Indiana. There's 3 teams in the Big Ten right now. They're going to beat in a dual meet. So, we'll see. See how it goes for them, but I think it's a big move. And I think it's good for both of them.
Well, here's the interesting question: Does the ACC require? Because now they're going to lose another school. I mean, they'll have Pitt, but do they require try to incentivize Syracuse to add a team? You know, I would think not because they just don't have any bargaining power there. But with all the money they're going to get from ACC basketball, with Syracuse adding, you wonder if you couldn't say like, hey guys, Do us a solid. That's rational thinking. Obviously, they're not going to do that. There's just no possible. There's not enough incentive. But
Gene Mills, isn't he? He's a Syracuse guy, right? And I think he's still up there running, or up until a year or two ago, at least, he was running a intramural team still up there. So maybe he's still up there. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Get him in some administrator's ears and try to add wrestling back in. They had a sick team back in the day.
Oh yeah, but if you could also just imagine if you could get the money in place, you know, if Gene Mills, if the Syracuse guys come together and say, hey, let's do this, and you know, if I'm going to construct the perfect situation for Syracuse to add wrestling next year, I would say, or in 2 or 3 years, I would say, spend the next 2 years fundraising, and get Rob Cole to say that I'll take over that program as a project. You know, Cole said he wanted to retire in 5 years from now. So why would he not take that as an opportunity?
I'm with you. If that was a possibility, that would be unbelievable. But I can't see Cole. Can you see Cole leaving Cornell?
Yes.
Really?
Sure.
I don't see it.
It's been there for 23 years, 24 years.
I feel like they're scratching. Until he wins a title, I don't see him going anywhere else.
Do you think that he thinks he's limited at Cornell by anything?
No.
Do you think
that probably at this point, probably not.
Well, I mean, if he had scholarships, who's he getting?
He's probably definitely missing out on a few blue chippers because of the scholarship situation. But look at the guys. Look at the recruiting classes they're getting. They got arguably the top two guys in the country last year. They're sliding a lot of guys in there.
There's guys who I can't believe they can't even get into school. I mean, I remember when I was coaching at Columbia, there was guys that we couldn't get in, that we couldn't even think about going to admissions with, who would end up at, the community college down the street or at Ithaca College, which, more power to them. I want those kids to be successful, and I think a Cornell education is the best thing for them. But, certainly it's an advantage to be there. And also, financial aid packages at Ivy League schools are, in many circumstances, more beneficial to the parents than scholarships. Because the money that you're granted, you're granted a lot of money. They know what you need and they can meet it, as opposed to when you go to another school and it's just based on what your scholarship is and you have to find ways to make up the difference, get non-subsidized loans. So there's a lot of advantages to the Ivy League system.
I don't know exactly what their situation is at Finger Lakes and the community college, but they've obviously figured out a way to skate around some things legally. So good for them. But they've got their model recruit that they're looking at, and I'm sure they go outside of that range for the right wrestler. But I don't know. They're stacked. I mean, it seems like they're at a point where they're almost like Iowa now, where they slide in. Like Dave graduates next year, and they'll slide in some stud that'll be All-American right away, right off the bat. Like, Devinger All-American last year, and they got Stan Dion beating them in a wrestle-off.
Right.
There's no shortage. They're an absolute powerhouse at this point. And I don't know, I just can't see Cole. He's knocked on the door so many times that I can't see him taking off before, or at least I can't see him going anywhere else before he gets a title there. So, we'll see what he does, but... Yeah, it would be great to have a higher-profile coach like that take over Syracuse or take over Boston College.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be incredible. Did you hear that the Burroughs shoe came out?
Is that right?
Yeah. The first.
I've been in the market for a pair of wrestling shoes.
The first prototypes just came out, and I am supremely underwhelmed.
Really? Oh, that's disappointing. Do you think they make you hit really fast, hard doubles?
But I think that they're just mock-ups. They're not coming out until next season, obviously, or right before next season. But the mock-ups, I think the mock-ups are just pretty basic. They're not doing anything crazy with them right now.
I'm a little surprised. I thought Bubba Jenkins was supposed to have his own shoe coming out, or maybe did come out.
Bubba J?
Yeah. That was something flying around a little while back.
On the message boards?
You got to imagine those would have some style to them. I'm surprised Burroughs, I got to check them out. I'm surprised they don't look a little better.
Okay, so I stirred the pot on this week. Someone asked me in the mailbag about the team rankings for dual meets.
Yep.
And I had a lot of offline flack given to me. But can you conceive of a situation in which Minnesota wins that dual meet 70? Well, now it last week it was 8 out of 10 coaches voted for Minnesota as the number one team. This week, 7 out of 10 voted for them as the number one team.
That's pretty high. I could see a split, a 5-5 split.
But you're getting bonus points at 65. You're getting bonus points at.
Getting bonus points at 65. Are they getting back bonus points anywhere though? Maybe heavyweight. Probably not.
Jimmy Lawson.
That's right. Well, they got the other guy there, too. I think Lawson beat him in the wrestle-off, but...
Yeah, Lawson's starting now.
Both kind of battling it out. That kid's going to be... I mean, he's already an athletic masterpiece, but he's going to... Like,
he's going to what?
His senior year of high school, I think he spent a total of like a minute and a half on the mat, something ridiculous like that, at State. New Jersey State, so he's got a bright future ahead of him. Can I conceive a Minnesota beating Iowa, or beating Penn State, rather?
Minnesota beating Penn State, and there's no, I just don't see it.
No, I think you're probably right. They could get 125. I could see that match going Minnesota's way, which is a big swing. 133 they would win. Mm-hmm. 141 probably could go either way. Depends if Nest is around, but you know, there's some matches that are kind of toss ups there. But yeah, I think Penn State probably takes that.
Well, I'll tell you right now.
But Minnesota, in my eyes, is no doubt the number two.
No, absolutely. They're clear. I just don't see, like, there's this whole idea that somehow 174 would be a toss up. But Matt Brown beat Logan Storey the last year. Matt Brown's a year more in that room. He beat him after, like, you know, spending 2 years in Africa and then flopping around on the mat for 2 months. He beat Logan Storey.
He just walked in. He got off the plane and walked on the mat. And was
he
like,
cracked.
Hey, like, my wrestler, this kid from Minnesota. Yeah, done.
Yeah, you know, like the summertime touch your toes and go. He did that. He did that just in real life against a real.
All right, the argument there is that Brown didn't have to go through. Although it was early in the season, right? It was a Southern scuffle.
Yeah, it was early in the season. Scuffle. Yeah. When he lost, his only loss last season was to Ed Ruth, 6-3. Oh, wait, no, he might have lost a match. Like
that is a guaranteed win, but yeah, Penn State's favored, I think.
Uh-huh.
Sorley's a goer, too, though. He's a stud.
Matt
Brown. He beat him last year, so yeah, you gotta favor Brown, but I don't think it's a lock.
Side note, the anecdote about Matt Brown that I keep being told is that the guys on the team respect him like a superhero. They, like, talk about him like he's not human. That he does things and he has the, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, amongst a room full of, you know, Ed Ruths and David Taylors, like, this guy elicits the most respect. It's kind of interesting.
That is impressive. He's sandwiched between two of the best wrestlers, you know, maybe in the past 10 years, and they're talking about how incredible
how
this guy
he is. Well, God bless him.
Got a good Thanksgiving coming to him.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do for Thanksgiving, these college wrestlers. Because I know for us, it was I would go home. I feel like on the day, but then we were always back that weekend. Or you know, we could go home. I think for a couple of days. Am I mistaken?
No, we would go Thanksgiving. We would go home.
Yeah,
and Christmas was. I think a couple years we went home, a couple years we didn't.
Well, it wasn't Christmas. It was like you could go home for Christmas Day and stuff. That always was the same. But you had to be back. If you went to Midlands, you had to be back like the 27th or the 26th. And then,
yeah, and then, well, then they started. There was 1 year or 2 years where we had a dual meet the Saturday of Thanksgiving, so we couldn't go home unless you were, you know, in state. But so we would just spend, there were five or six of us from New Jersey, New York, that would just huddle up around the TV and eat like a couple slivers of turkey and watch movies all day and hate each other.
I was just thinking about, before the call, I was thinking about the risk.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about. What was that? That was Christmas, right? Okay. We started...
that was Christmas was 10 years
so
ago.
So we started playing...
Christmas 10 years ago.
Five of us had started playing Risk, and nobody had played before. So everybody's just building up their armies, right? But nobody wants to attack because nobody wants to piss anybody off. So you're just building up these armies over literally like 8 hours. So it carries into the practice the next day, and guys are warming up. And you see guys like trailing off to the side, like talking about strategy. And then somebody would run over me, like, what are you guys talking about? What are you guys talking about? Like, nothing. Yeah, I don't know nothing. And I ended up making an alliance, if you will, with one of our younger wrestlers, and I had him attack Durkee had like 25 billion armies or something. And I had him, I was like, listen, if you go in, your turn, I'm going to follow you, and we're going to take Durkee out of the game. So he goes in, and then, you know, I assessed the situation afterwards, and I decided not to follow him up. He would not talk to me for like 2 months.
This is Ian DeRath, right?
Ian DeRath, yeah.
Oh, fantastic. I remember that Bob Seidel used to take any loss personally, and Joey Bag of Donuts just did not. He couldn't handle the stress. It was too much stress for him.
No, Joe Bag of Donuts was not. If you attacked him, he took it personally. I mean, he would go hide in the corner and huddle for a couple of days, and you might see him at a dual meet a couple of days later. But
he might show up. He might not. There's no guarantees.
I love Bago, if he's listening, but Yeah, they're always like the most miserable, yet when you look back on them, the most fun, I think, of my college wrestling career, because you become so close to the guys around you.
Yeah.
And the poker tournament. Remember the poker tournament? We had a poker tournament that lasted 3 days, 3 days straight. Like, the only thing we would do is go to practice, double sessions, we'd get out and play poker.
Immediately. There was no stopping to get food, really. It was sort of just one of those, everybody be back at the house in 30 minutes, this is starting. If you're not there, you lose your chips. It was
serious. You forfeit your blind every round. But, I think that's before we realized that we should be raising the blind. So people are just hanging out, doing nothing for literally 3 days. And it came down to three of us. There was one big hand that, I don't even remember how much money was on the line, but it was all of our per diem for the vacation that everybody was just gambling away on.
Because so you know what they do now is you don't get per diem. I think maybe if you're out of school, you might get cash, but if you are on a road trip and you're the coach, you keep all the money and you have to buy everybody the things. You do not give them cash anymore. They're not allowed to have cash.
It makes a lot of sense. Because
we would take that money and nobody was buying food.
I remember the Vegas trip, we got per diem, and what college kid is going to take that in Vegas and go buy himself a sandwich? You know, nobody. So we're all immediately heading to the roulette table. And didn't go so well from what I remember.
No, I think if I remember correctly, somebody enjoys betting colors for massive amounts of money.
Somebody. Let's not point fingers, but somebody did.
I think the risk games, but I think the poker games ended up defining our college experience for the last two seasons, mostly because of Will Durkee.
Mostly, yeah. That's the one thing I'll give him credit for. Won't give him credit for Mosh, but I'll give him credit for that.
I think he also brought in When he got to school, he like made it really serious. I remember we never used to work out in the springtime. And I remember when he got to school, it was like he wanted to work out in the spring and wrestle. And we were all kind of like, why would you do that? That seems like a lot of work. And
it seems really difficult. Don't you know where we're going to school? I mean,
why are you doing this to us? This is our 6 weeks. And I remember thinking like all the time, like, well, if Will's working out, you kind of have to, like, he's like around your weight class. You're like, ugh. God, I gotta go work out.
He also wore pink pants, so it all equaled out in the end with him. But he was the poker guy, and we all made fun of him. And really, that's what drove me in my poker life, was just to beat him, because he took it so seriously. Right. And he had the last laugh and ended up winning a World Series of poker bracelet.
I was sitting at, I remember exactly where I was. This was like my JFK moment. This was my 9/11. I was in Maxwell's bar in Hoboken, and I got a text message on my phone from Katie Gordon, his then girlfriend, now wife, probably because of what she texted. But it said on the text message, Will Durkee just won $500,000. I remember talking to Tino, a former teammate, and just being like, you got to get me a drink. Make it a double. This is the worst moment of my life. And I feel like he didn't.
Everybody had the same reaction, which was like, God damn it. Why wasn't I doing that?
I feel like he did the exact wrong thing with that money. I think I'll say it again. If I win $500,000, I'm taking care of my boys. We're going to do something. You can't just take that money and say, well, you have to give some of it to the government, I suppose, but I'm not going to just.
I think they take a chunk of it. But, yeah, there are other ways to handle it.
I wanted a steak dinner.
Maybe a steak at a minimum. So maybe we can still get that a couple years later.
Get that steak dinner from him down the line?
Yeah, I think he owes it to us.
Because
if it wasn't for us, who is he going to learn with? You know, he's like reading his books, and now he's going. He's got to go practice against somebody. I mean, he took all that money from us in college. I'd like my share back.
I'd like a cut of your winnings. Now, of course, but you know, it's lean times now in the poker world. So he's
more or less funded his poker education.
We paid for his poker education. You're exactly right. Oh, you know what we also did for winter break is we played Madden. But that didn't really take as much because I think it was just too much time. And it was all individual effort because it was like you versus the other guy. Because this was before the internet connected you via Xbox. And so everybody would just show up. I think it was at my apartment. And you'd have to play the next game. But you couldn't play unless everybody finished their week. It was kind of...
And those almost got too heated because everybody's on edge already.
Nobody's eating. Everybody's on edge.
You playing poker or something, it sucks, but you lose Madden. That's a whole different world. You got Paul Dunston in your ear, you know, talking to that.
Yeah, man.
And, yeah, no, nothing was worse than losing Madden.
I did always think that it would be interesting.
Bob Slidell on a few occasions literally threw a temper tantrum and pouted his way upstairs. Put to bed at like 7 o'clock at night.
You forced him to actually study. The thing that used to always happen in those poker games is because you would play them during the week and weekends. I mean, they just carried over. They were always happening. Is especially the night before weigh-ins or the night of weigh-ins or whatever it was. I forgot. Or the night before your match, we would have everybody had a scale in their house. So randomly between hands, you'd have individuals just taking off all their clothes in the middle of the poker game and weighing himself. And everybody just casually saying, like,
college environment, right?
Yeah. And everybody wanted to get, like, their relative self-confidence. So you'd be like, yeah, Joey, yeah, how much are you over? Oh, man, dude, fuck, I'm 6 pounds over. And you think to yourself, like, bitch, I'm only 3 pounds over. And you feel so much better about yourself because he was fatter than you. Not Joey specifically, but other man weighing himself.
It was always a consolation prize, you know? Like, sucking weight was the worst moment of your life, but if you won at risk or you won poker that night, it was like, all right, I can sleep at least.
Yeah.
Get me a day.
Exactly. Eat some frozen grapes, call it a night. I'm ready to go. I feel like the worst moment in any college wrestler's life is the moment right after weigh-ins when you feel good. I mean, I shouldn't say worst, but the moment when we're our most sort of naturally human, our animalistic tendencies take over. In the moments after you weigh in and you all go into the locker room where the food is spread out and it's community food, and people will hover over something, and you can see the jaundice eyes cutting back and forth at each other, and like these.
And you start seeing the ribs disappear a little bit.
Well, you see the gaunt cheeks and everybody, and everybody's kind of like, dude, if you don't step away from the turkey, I'm gonna rear naked choke you. If you don't pass that Gatorade right now, I seriously am going to punch you in the face. You know, people are so consumed with the idea that they're not going to be able to replenish themselves immediately. There's some really tense moments.
If you never cut weight, you just can't have an understanding what that feeling is. Like, I used to have, the night before weigh-ins, I would have dreams about swimming around in a pool of Gatorade. Really. And there's another guy that had, he said he had the dreams of the Gatorade jumping over the fence. But it was always the liquid. It was never really the food. The food obviously was great, but that first sip of Gatorade after weighing in, you can't compare to that.
No, it's incredible. It is one of the better feelings that you're ever going to have. I feel, you know, I don't know what the cutting weight situation is like now, but you know, especially with Thanksgiving coming up, and it's, you just think about how awful. I wish I had just kept going up. I just wish I had kept going up. I don't know. I just feel like something's wrong with my body probably 10 years later that I don't realize from just all that pounding you give your body without like a good way to recover, without like fat on your bones or like extra moisture in your cartilage. I don't know shit about medicine, but it just seems like a really bad idea.
It's like not something you should be doing over a long period of time. But I always cut a lot of weight early in high school. I cut a bunch of weight, and then I just stopped. My junior senior year, I stopped, and it was such a relief. And I wrestled so much better because you can focus on what you want to focus on, what you should be focusing on, and not wearing plastics and all that nonsense. But same thing with college. I cut a whole bunch of weight in the beginning, and then just decided to stop. Like I would still come in. Let's say 195 I came in after the summer, and I'd have to get down to 74. But once I made weight once, it was over. I would weigh in at like – I was weighing out of practice at like 172, 173.
Right.
And it was great.
That's the way I felt my senior year after going up just one weight class from 57 to 65. I felt like I could eat more, think about my weight less, and just concentrate on, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, concentrate on technique, you're lifting, you're healthier.
Well, instead of having your third workout of the day be a nighttime cardio or a morning cardio, you can come in and get like a good morning drill in.
Yeah. Yeah, right. You're focusing on what you should be focusing on. I feel like that's starting to happen a little more.
People are starting to balance that a little bit.
The more higher profile examples are Dake and Oliver. But, yeah, you're starting to see it a little more, I think. But it's like, yeah, maybe you don't have to cut that extra 8 pounds to get to 65.
But it's taken 14 years, I mean, even for that methodology to kind of come through after the deaths, 14, 15 years. I mean, we're a very conservative, traditional sport. It's just taking a while for us to adapt to what some healthy eating habits. The other thing I wish I would have done, and you're stupid. The young are stupid. You know, there's youth. When you're in your youth, you're an idiot. And one of the things that we used to do, I just forget about all like the drinking or whatever you did in the off season. In the in season, the lack of meat. That I would eat. I would eat carbs all the time. I would eat pastas. I would eat bagels, all that kind of stuff. And it just wasn't the right thing to be doing. You know, I needed more chicken. I needed more red meat. I needed some pork in my diet. I needed protein, not carbs. And I look back and I think about all the times I just would make like a big bowl of pasta. And I think like, man, I just made dinner for myself. And I would always finish, and I'd always think to myself, gosh, I'm so hungry still. Like, you have that hollow but full feeling in your stomach.
The options were limited because you're a college kid with no money. That's true. You're going to the dining hall, which I'm sure at this point they're awesome. But when we were there, they were a little lackluster.
I don't know. I like Runk. I like Runk.
Yeah, no, Runk was actually pretty good. What was the other one?
Well, O'Hill.
O'Hill was... Oh, it was pretty awful, I thought.
Where we created the term swiping.
right. That was well in place by the time I got there. That's got to go back to the older guys. But
I think the holiday season in general, it can be so depressing.
That's a little to be desired. Like, what are you actually putting in your body there that is helping you? You know, nothing.
Nothing.
For the most part.
You're really just sucking down a bunch of high C and moving on with your day. I think what you said earlier was pretty interesting, and I think it's really compelling because this time of year I'm almost jealous. I think about all the guys, and they're just these guys get to spend no studying. They have nothing to think about but wrestling, which actually I guess could be a curse if you didn't like it. But from December 18th, it's a whole month really, from December 18th to January 12th for schools that are on a normal semester. That's all you do. You just hang out with your boys and entertain yourself. Now, I don't know what it's like for the kids nowadays with the Twitter and all like the social media stuff, but we were just cut off.
You're playing video. I mean, that's why my college friends, you know, AKA the wrestling team, I'm so much closer with them than I am with my high school friends at this point. I mean, I love my high school friends, but it's just a different dynamic because I don't want to get too out of hand with it, but you're spending so much time together on a daily basis. So while you're going through it, like how many of us hated each other on a daily basis? But you look back and you're like, yeah, it was kind of a necessary hatred at that point because we're just spending too much time with each other. I mean,
and you're cutting weight, and there's just it's limited resources.
Everybody's on edge,
right? You're all kind of also pining for the same thing.
Those are great times.
Oh, the best times. But you just don't want to relive it because it takes a lot of sacrifice. And I can't even go through I can't go back to back jiu-jitsu practices without really questioning whether or not I need a full body scan.
Right. My Advil intake after two practices is off the charts at this point.
I don't remember this being I remember being like getting injured. But I don't remember.
At least it's not Vioxx anymore.
What's that?
At least it's not Vioxx. I'm not taking Vioxx anymore.
Oh, yeah. That was the best. We were in college, and they just were just handing us free samples of Vioxx. And then no mention of it. There was no letter in the mail from Ethan Saliba or anybody when they're, you know, from the head of the sports medicine department when they decided that Vioxx can actually kill you. That
cop. Oh, by the way, Vioxx is really, really bad. We shouldn't have been popping them in your mouth like Flintstones. Last 4 years.
Sorry, man.
I want to get that checked out.
COX-2 inhibitors, for the most part, are just no good. And we're sorry that we gave you Vioxx. And then there was the green one, which was Celebrex, right? So it was like Vioxx.
I never got into the Celebrex.
You never got into the Celebrex, huh?
Never? Vioxx. I was straight Vioxx.
What's the
Vioxx was the answer to 99% of anything that ailed you. Vioxx was the cure.
Have herpes? Take a Vioxx. What do you think was your... personal,
the 1%. Herpes is the 1%.
Herpes is the 1%. That's if you got properly diagnosed. Do you think, what was the lowest point, emotional low point, before, like, not during tournaments and stuff, but, like, emotional low point you can think of during a season?
Emotional low point. It's probably my first year. I was recruited as a 157 pounder, and I wrestled 160 in high school that year. Mm-hmm. So I came in around 70 and change. And for some reason, cutting down to 57 was the hardest cut I've ever had in my life. And I wrestled 112 when I was weighing like 140. You know,
mm-hmm.
That was probably my low point. Trying to make weight at the first tournament, having a lot of pressure. Like being at that weight and just
because you were like part of a big class for UVA.
Yeah, we had a ton of studs that came in with us, and it was me and Bobby Slidell were the only ones to make it out. Unfortunately,
yeah.
But yeah, we had
there's a lot of turnover on college wrestling programs.
A lot of turnover. I think, man, without naming names, we probably had. Maybe not since the Garland era, but we, at that point, probably one of the better recruiting classes of that time. A lot of New Jersey, New York guys, Northeast, so a lot of talent. But they don't quit like some of those Virginia guys. So
it was 2002, correct?
Yes. My class was 02. So we had Bob Seidel, myself.
Yeah.
DCC, Don Carlo Klaus, and Dave Santa Maria, New Jersey guy. Ryan McGrath. Jersey stud, two or three guys from Blair. So yeah, we had a good class coming in.
Yeah, you did. I remember it wasn't a low point for me, but I remember my freshman year when I first started getting the idea of what college wrestling was going to be about. Was I showed up to, I think it was Massey's apartment. He lived with Jason Byrne at the time. Is that correct? And they lived upstairs.
Yes.
They were third years, I think. And they were third years. And I was a first year. And it was the beginning of winter break, and I remember that Massey wouldn't let Jason Byrne turn on the heater. He wouldn't let him turn on the heater.
I don't think it was Byrne.
I think it was.
You might be right.
I think he lived with Jason Byrne, and he wouldn't let him turn on the heat in the house because it was costing too much money or something like that. And I remember going over there to watch movies with Jason Byrne, and I remember loving Jason Byrne because all you guys were out of control maniacs in my mind. Like, I grew up sheltered for the most part. I did crossword puzzles with my girlfriend on Friday night. You guys were like madmen compared to that. And I remember Jason Byrne was just this guy. He was like this shining light on the hill. He just was so smart. Like, he just knew everything. And
yeah, he was.
And you guys, like, it was like, for you guys, it was like, you guys were like, oh, Jason, what like a pompous asshole, probably. But for me, I was just like, just protect me from this and just talk to me about things that are going to, like,
tell me it's going to be okay. Now, everyone loved Byrne. That's what was so great about the crew, I think, is you had such a good dynamic to it. You know, you had your straight wrestling goons, but you also had your Jason Byrne, who was, you know, living on the lawn, and he's kind of the voice of reason at most times.
He can't do that.
Coach,
he can't do that. I mean, for the most part, you know, I just look back at those times in the holidays, like we're talking about Thanksgiving coming up, and it's, it is. I mean, it's just like shared misery, but it is such a big part of, you know, without getting too meta about it, it is part of the character of who you've become, you know? Like, when you're sitting down and you're like,
It's part of wrestling. It's part of what makes wrestling so, so tough, but so great at the same time, is that I don't think other sports get that, and you've looked at this more than most people, but that type of camaraderie with it. You know, like, you're not seeing, like, you play in a baseball team, you play in a lacrosse team, like, you like those guys, you're going to go out and hang out with them and stuff, but you're not, I don't know if you're going to get the lifetime friendship.
No, it's different. It's just different. The physical contact.
Different, total different feel to it.
Yeah. The physical contact, actually, you know, without getting everybody's, you know, everybody getting all excited about what I'm about to say, I mean, it is the actual physical contact, you know, no homo, whatever you want to say, but like physical contact, that's an important thing, man. I mean,
yeah, there's definitely something to that.
Absolutely. There's a woman, Tiffany Field, she's a doctor in Miami, and she did a whole book about touch, and she studied infants and she studied the elderly. And both circumstances, there was these enormous outputs of positive things, you know, whether it's improved communication higher levels of empathy, you know, intelligence. There was all these positive characteristics that came out from increased amounts of touch in their youth and in an adult. And I asked her, I was like, why don't you just do, like, what about, like, sports like wrestling? And she just, her mind was just so caught up in the idea that it was some form of barbarism that it took, you know, that she couldn't really wrap her head around it. And I tried to explain to her, I was like, you understand the whole point of wrestling is to not hurt somebody. That you want to control somebody without hurting them. And that every day you give 30 people, you completely blankly trust 30 people not to hurt you.
And people that watch wrestling from the outside that don't know it, it just looks like nothing's going on, right? But if you've done it, there's so many details that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
Like head position and hand fighting and all that stuff, that unless you've gone through that whole path of, like, this counters that, and see the kind of chess matches going on, and same thing with jiu-jitsu, I think, you wouldn't really know. And that's why from the outside it can be kind of boring to people. But for those that have done it, it's really great to watch those little battles that go on during the big battle.
It is. And it's also the part that's exciting for the people who love wrestling, you know, where other people are just looking for slams, the violence that they're so accustomed to with football or whatever ridiculous sports they watch. Death to football.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you probably need to get going. You're probably going to have to be looking for an apartment soon, aren't you, Brian?
That's exactly what I'm doing.
What are you looking at? One bedroom?
So let's see. We got line of the week, and I'm going to think of a line of the week while I'm asking your lines of the week from last time. But so we got Dick and Caldwell wrestling at the Grapple in the Garden, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Those two are meeting, I think, that Sunday.
Right.
So let's hear Dake Caldwell line first.
Dake, point and a half.
Dake minus point and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And without picking a side, what's your Taylor Caldwell?
Pick him. No.
Pick him.
Taylor, point and a half.
Okay. All right. Dake minus a point and a half. I'm going to take Caldwell. I think Caldwell, I'm going to make a bold prediction right now. Caldwell wins that first matchup. Maybe it's not that bold, but I'm going to make it anyway. That Caldwell wins that first match against Dake, which means...
You're saying that's not a bold prediction? You just predicted a three-time national champion was going to lose.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like I'm predicting that some Joe Schmo is going to walk in and beat him. You know, they've already had a close match in freestyle. And if anything, I think if Dake's got an advantage, it's probably in freestyle, in my opinion. But so, yeah, I'm going to say I'll take Caldwell plus the point and a half. I'll go further than that and say that Caldwell's going to win that match, which means that I think Dake Taylor are going to match up in the semis of the Southern Scuffle.
You think that Tyler Caldwell... First of all, so then what is he going to get? Is Tyler Caldwell going to get them in the finals again?
So then Caldwell will be the top seed. I think Caldwell becomes the top seed at the scuffle. Dake Taylor, it'll be interesting to see how they seed that.
Yeah, because I think you would put David Taylor first.
I don't know. I don't think they got a loss, right?
They're not supposed to.
Well, I guess you can't count it, though, right?
Yep.
Interesting. Well, we'll see what happens there. But I think Caldwell beats Dake in December.
Okay. Well, we're both going to be there.
We're both going to be in attendance. Caldwell plus 1.5. And then, just due to matchups, I think Taylor beats Caldwell.
Wow.
By 3.
Whoa. I think Taylor does. For some reason, I had the same instinct originally, which was I could see Taylor putting more points on the longer body of Tyler Caldwell. But I don't know why. I think that just instinct. But again, my instinct was wrong 6 times this past weekend during the UFC. So.
That's right. You had a rough one, didn't you?
Oh my gosh!
You're still up though. You're still paying me with my money, as they say.
What am I at? 210 on you?
Something in that range.
Yeah, Will tried to bully me into the Hendricks Campman thing, and I said no. And then I said no, and then I immediately texted okay, and then I immediately texted no, and he's like, it's booked. And I was like, no, it's not. Don't even try.
The only thing I'm thankful for, the one thing I'm thankful for this year is Chase Instant Ipe. Just do it right on the phone.
I feel like we could actually ask Chase for a sponsorship for the podcast.
Out of two people, we have to be towards the top of how many times we've used it in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Chase Ipe.
We've sent money back and forth at least 10 times.
I pay my rent by Chase Ipe. That's not an exaggeration. You can only do $2,000 a day, and I just released that. I have a roommate. But it takes 2 payments. But it is an exceedingly simple thing. It's like 3 buttons. It's like 2 screens. It's
one tap and you're there. And
Chase Ipe, everybody.
Immediately get it right to my email. Accept it. That's it. Chase Ipe.
When you want convenience, you think Chase Ipe.
I don't know why we're pushing it so hard. Maybe we can get a little sponsorship here.
Maybe we can get a sponsorship, Brian. I don't know. I think there's certain numbers, metrics that need to be met. But I think it's also like if you have a comedy website like Jay Moore, he's doing stamps.com. But he has 100,000 listeners. I think that's the metric for like broad audience would be 100,000 to get big companies. I think in us.
We'll start small, but we'll get
there. I don't know that we're ever going to get 100,000 podcast listeners for just wrestling, but I know that when you get people on the horn, and especially in the wrestling, it's a small community, so you can communicate with them more effectively. So there's a whole different. So if you're out there and you're wanting to sponsor something, and you know who you are, contact me, not Brian Muir, trfoley@gmail.com.
I'll do all the negotiations.
Yeah, I don't know. Your negotiating skills are under review after this past.
I just want a few T-shirts. Just throw me a T-shirt, a hat here and there.
T-shirts and hats. Are you going to be? We're doing Grapple in the Garden, right?
I'm looking to do it. Yeah, I'm hoping to do it.
Flights are obnoxiously cheap.
Really?
I found one on Spirit Air for $148.
Christmas is right there the next week. If I could try to double it into a longer vacay and just stay in the East Coast for like 10 days, that would be ideal. I'd like to go though. There's going to be some great matches there.
There's just a lot. There's a lot to see. There's a lot of restaurants to go eat at. There's a
lot going on that city. I heard the Big Apple. So yeah, Dake. I will take Caldwell, and I'll take Taylor.
Okay.
You said pick him for Taylor Caldwell?
No,
you said Taylor minus .5.
.5. I put both of them .5 favorites against.
Gotcha. Caldwell. How about the Southern Scuffle at 65 and 84?
I think I might go there for New Year's now. I just feel like that I have to.
I might just skip New Year's and go there.
I honestly, I don't think it's a bad idea.
I'd probably be down to do that. We'll see if I can work it out, but. Line of the week going out. I gotta be honest, I got nothing prepared, but off the top of my head, let me see if I can work something. If you got anything else to talk about in the meantime, go ahead and get it out there. But
I'm trying to think if there's the only other thing I can do, because there's no wrestling matches for the most part. I don't think this weekend. I think it's mostly non-competes. I have a line for you.
Hit me.
Or no. You have to take the over-under on this. Next week in the AWN NCAA, NWCA poll, how many teams are going to put, how many of the 10 votes are going to be for Minnesota to be number one?
You want me to answer now or you want me to answer next week?
I think if you answer next week, it'll already be.
Okay, so might as well do it now. Yeah. Well, you said the last one was 7, right?
Yeah, it was 8-2 2 weeks ago, 7-3 last week.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they both have just hammered. The Penn State had, did they have one match? They smashed Lehigh.
Right.
But Minnesota has probably beat the better team so far. In Nebraska, I would say. Nebraska, Lehigh, probably pretty close. But if you got 7 that already said Minnesota, I can't see them. I can't see Penn State have done enough to change that vote. I'm going to say 8. 8 out of 10.
You're going 8. You're thinking that whoever was last week that changed their vote to Penn State is going to change it back. Book it. I'll take the under.
All right. Take it under.
For $1 million.
Booked. I'll e-pay you. Chase e-pay you.
$2,000. That'll take you roughly, oh gosh, I just walked into a math problem. 500?
500, yeah.
Is that correct?
Well, I don't know what our count is, but I feel like I made a lot back up this weekend, didn't I?
You did. You did.
But some of it wasn't even, some of it was
off. Off.
Some of it was complicated. Let's say that. line of the week on the way out.
Yes.
Over under on Grapple in the Garden, and this is probably something you can look up, so don't cheat. Grapple in the Garden attendance.
Over under for 2 days?
Yeah.
Is it 2 days or 1 day? It's 1 day.
I believe it's just 1 day.
The over under. 3,800.
Oh, you're supposed to think about it and come back.
Oh, sorry.
You got to follow the rules.
All right.
You got to follow the rules.
Well, I can't not look for a whole week, but okay.
You could try. You could try to be honest.
I could try. Why start now? Why? Why start being honest now?
And, yeah, that's the line of the week. We'll have a better one for you next week, but
okay.
That's what we're leaving with.
Ryan.
All right, buddy. So,
we'll see you at the Thanksgiving dinner on Thursday. Three of us.
That we will. We'll have some wine, some turkey. We'll cuddle up, maybe watch a movie like the old days.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I might even get the wrist board.
I think you should get the wrist board.
I'm feeling crazy. We'll see if we can sell it to the other attendee.
Okay.
But, all right, man. I will talk to you in 1 week.
Hey, good luck out there.
Thank you.
Adios.